Welcome back.
The lovely, talented, and late Esther Phillips. Just Say Goodbye from Atlantic Records. That's going back about 50 years, that song. We lost Esther over 30 years ago. Back in 2015, the world's foremost alien abduction researcher, Dr. David Jacobs, released new research after examining close to 1,200 abduction accounts. His startling conclusion was that something had changed dramatically in the alien abduction field. His subjects were describing being part of an alien-human hybrid program, and these hybrids were being surreptitiously assimilated into human society. Jacob's disturbing conclusion was that these hybrids were being churned out, it would appear, as some kind of invasion force, ultimately designed to take over the planet. Along comes Ali Siadatan, a student of the Bible and a documentary filmmaker, who views the modern-day UFO and alien abduction phenomena through the lens of biblical prophecy. This is not a happy narrative. Whoever is piloting these crafts and taking humans aboard have evil intent, and it's part of a plot that goes back to the very beginning of human history, to Genesis. And the alien abduction phenomena is part of biblical end times as well. Ali Siadatan has spent hours in conversation with Dr. Jacobs, along with L.A. Marzulli, another frequent guest here on Coast to Coast AM. And the result is his latest project, still ongoing. It's called Goliath Rising, Hybrids, Nephilim, and Titans. That conversation begins in mere moments here on Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Born in Iran, Ali Siadatan has been involved in a lifelong search into spirituality. He feels that the hand that has guided him through life has led him into the examination of the relationship that exists between angels and UFOs. After finishing a master's degree in French language and literature at the University of Toronto, Ali decided to pursue his passion for the Chinese arts of Kung Fu and Tai Chi and opened a center. Today, joined by his wife Shelley, they run a martial arts and health center in downtown Toronto. His documentary, UFOs, Angels, and Gods, was his first attempt at directing and writing for the audiovisual arts. His research into UFOs has inspired him to write a fiction book that he is working on. And he has begun research for his second documentary. In fact, he's begun shooting his second documentary. It's titled Goliath Rising, Hybrids, Nephilim, and Titans. Ali Siadatan, welcome back to Coast AM. How are you?
Thank you for having me, Richard. I'm doing very well.
I want to start with Dr. David Jacobs. I know you spent a great deal of time with him in conversation. And this new research, going back to 2015, after conducting research into 1,200 supposed abductees, he came to a startling conclusion. A narrative began to form in his mind of what was going on, and that involved this human, we'll call it a human-alien hybrid program for now. Let's drill down on that a little bit. Talk to me about what Dr. Jacobs told you.
Well, when I originally met him in 2005, his research was all about people are being abducted, and it seems that what they're saying, and you have to understand, these people are very sane. They are, professors, judges, ministers, sometimes engineers, housewives, teachers, people we trust in very important positions. And it was all about genetic material being removed from men, like a sperm, seed, sperma, and a woman being impregnated, alien-human hybrids being created. It was all about the creation of hybrids. There was a massive hybrid creation program happening that he was documenting when I met him in 2005. In 2015, there was a huge leap forward. It was no longer about the creation of hybrids, but about the integration of hybrids. So the abduction sequence, when a person had these contacts with these so-called aliens and an abduction occurred, and the person necessarily was no longer taken up into a vessel, but was actually, it happened in their apartment, it happened in their city. There were tasks that were carried out with the hybrid involved. It was no longer about leaving, but about helping these hybrids integrate into American society. And that's what the conversation was about, all the different facets of the tasks that these abductees have that centered around integration. And so that was a huge leap forward. In our first documentary, UFOs, Angels, and Gods, you can see a detailed account of how is it that hybrids are created. But in this documentary, we're going to be talking about the integration of hybrids into human culture.
Well, how does this integration take place? Do they have other hybrids that are in charge of this, showing alien-human hybrids how to fit in, how to dress, how to speak? Who's in charge of this integration?
Okay, so how does integration work? Dr. Jacobs' research, the one that he presents in 2015, is based on notes that are about around 10 years old. So that's something to keep in mind, that everything that I'm about to tell you is actually 10 years old research from Dr. Jacobs. Even though he released it in 2015, yet this is what was happening 10 years ago. So this, things have now moved a lot forward, but at least we get a clear idea of the path. So integration has to do with learning human functions. Like, for instance, how do you dress yourself? So let's say an abductee will be with the hybrid. There'll be different types of clothing, and the hybrid will, you know, put them on, and there'll be questions asked. And there's verbal communication, and there's telepathic communication. And I know, again, this is very strange. It's nearly crazy. However, the people who tell these stories, maybe your friend, maybe your colleague at work, maybe your boss, maybe your mate. There's, for instance, things like, how do I choose the right music? What kind of foods do I eat? Even questions as to, like, which religion should I pick and why? What are the rules? There's different tasks. Driving, that's a very important part. They, especially in America, you need to know how to drive, even to buy milk. So they are, the abductees teach the hybrids how to drive. And these particular hybrids look so human that Dr. Jacobs is now calling them hubrids. They're very kind of a special category. Other tasks, sometimes they accompany them to work and just observe them work. Like, you could be a stock trader and there's a, you know, you are an abductee and this has been part of your life. You've donated genetic material. You've helped these hybrids over time understand humanity. And now it's they're coming to work with you, and they're watching you work. They get an apartment, so there'll be a group of them, three or four of them, living together. And these guys were kind of in their early 20s, which means that now they're in their early 30s, when the research that Dr. Jacobs presents, they're in their early 20s. Now they're in their early 30s, and they may, for instance, get an apartment, and the abductees take it to that apartment and ask whether things are set up properly. For instance, is the furniture correct? If someone were to walk in here, would they realize that we're a little bit off, or would they assume that, you know, hey, these guys are perfectly normal? And the abductee might say, well, you know what, there's a TV lacking. And the hybrid will say, well, is that important? And the abductee might say, well, you know, there's a good chance people might think it's weird that you don't have TV.
Ali, are these hybrids, are they looked upon by the abductees as their children, their progeny, because they did come from them, correct?
Yes. So the abductees fall within three categories as far as their perception. One category is those who really hate this, who resent it, and there is neurological control. They take control of your mind. You're aware, but you can't really fight back, and these are the ones that continue to refer to themselves as abductees. They don't like what's happening to them. They feel they're abducted. Then there are those who call themselves contactees. And the ones who call themselves contactees, yes, they do sometimes see these guys as their children. As I've been researching this since the late 1990s, and I've now seen a clear development. There's actually conferences that you can attend where these contactees talk about their hybrid children. They'll show drawings of them, pictures of them. They'll talk about their visitations with them. And they really feel like they are helping usher in a new race. And that is really what this is about. This is about the creation of a new race. And we can talk about later why and how does that fit in the larger picture. Then there's a third category of abductees. They call themselves the experiencers. And these guys are kind of neutral. They don't really quite, you know, they're not like embracing it like the contactees as some chosen vessel to usher in a new humanity. They don't fear it and resent it like the abductees do. They're just kind of neutral, this strange thing. You know, the aliens are somehow experimenting on these guys. They're kind of like in that middle ground. So this is how the three categories of abductees.
Okay, so the abductees, the contactees, and the experiencers who are helping these hybrids, to use Dr.
Yes.
Jacob's term,
yes.
Assimilate into human society.
Yes.
Do they have conscious memory of working with these hybrids, or is this all brought to the fore under hypnosis?
They start to have bleeding memories that bleed through. In the conscious state, they have memories that bleed through, and they can't explain it. And that is usually when they come to see Dr. Jacobs, because they want to dig deeper. What's going on? And now he's become more known. But originally when I met him at the beginning of the century, his research was really like me. You couldn't read it and then repeat it. You really had to know through the back door that this guy existed. So there's memories that bleed through, but ultimately when they're relaxed and put under hypnosis, the subconscious mind is released. Now the binding of the mind is a very interesting phenomenon, a very important part of this whole thing. The reason we don't, for instance, see the ships, the vehicles that are all around us, is not so much that they're camouflaged or they're another dimension. It's because our minds are held from seeing them. You mentioned the Bible. In the biblical accounts, there's lots of idea of mind control, where angels, for instance, cast blindness on people where you're in front of them but you can't see them. There's even this very famous story, since this is Easter, of, you know, Jesus comes back from the dead and he's walking with two of his disciples on a road to a town called Emmaus, and it says that he held them back from recognizing him. So he was speaking with them and they were right in front of him, but their minds could not see who he was. So the idea of affecting the mind is a very important part of this relationship, and these memories are pushed down and hidden on purpose, and they are screened memories put on top of it. So a person might think that in the middle of the night they see ghosts or they have visions of animal spirits or different things based on their cultural background. But these are screened memories. What happens under hypnosis is that the mind relaxes and the fullness of it comes out. However, most of the people who come there to get the hypnosis is because they're having these memories bleed through and they are wondering what's going on. But they don't have a woman might leave, and this is a real story, you know, a woman might leave and go to get pizza for her family. She was supposed to be back in 20 minutes, but she's back in 2 hours. And this is a common thing. It's called missing time. People who are abducted miss. And people around them look for them. Their entire search is made for children, for adults. So the woman will come back in 2 hours and they'll say, like, where did you go? And then she doesn't quite remember. Now she goes under hypnosis to see Dr. Jacobs, and suddenly she realizes that as she walked out to go get the pizza, she was intercepted by her handler, this person who always meets with her. And there she came under neurological control, and the suggestion was given to her to get into a car. She was then taken to meet a group of three hybrids, and they were taken to a warehouse where she drove them, where boxes were moved, and then she drove them back to where she picked them up, and then she went and got her pizza. So that was what happened. That memory of what occurred in those 2 hours was buried. She,
right.
she accomplished a task for them, and that's what hypnosis uncovers.
And Dr. Jacobs, if memory serves, was part of the group that commissioned that Roper poll back in the mid to early 90s.
Yeah.
Which attempted to figure out how many people, North America wide or worldwide, have been abducted. Does
yes.
he have new numbers in terms of how many Hubrits he thinks are out there.
No, he's going with those numbers, and the poll suggested that 5 to 6%, and they're being very conservative, of the American people were having abduction experiences. From each abductee, a number of hybrids is created, and as the population of the Earth has exponentially grown in the past 100 years, because this is a bloodline, there are bloodlines that are being followed. So if you are being abducted, your children will be abducted, one of them or both of them. As the number of people expands exponentially, the number of hybrids created expands with it, because it carries into the bloodline. The more people are produced, the more people are abducted, the more hybrids are created. So 5 to 6% of the American population experiences abductions, and from each abductee, many hybrids are created. Now, is this a reflection of the global numbers? He does receive emails from all around the world. In China, UFO groups have millions of adherents, and he receives emails from the Middle East. And now, do these numbers carry all the way through into the whole of the world? Obviously, we don't know exactly. I think that America, I think by these guys, may be destined to be the seat of empire. And that's something we can talk about.
I'm doing the math here very, very quickly and being very conservative, Ali.
Yeah.
If we said 300 million people in the United States, it's
right.
More than that, but let's say 300 million.
Yes.
If we said 2%, that would be 6 million. If you said that each abductee, they create three hybrids, that's 18 million. That's
right.
Incredibly conservative.
Yes.
Because I'm rounding down. 18, so the suggestion is that there could be as many as 18 million alien human hybrids walking around in New York and Chicago and Detroit, Minneapolis?
Yes, definitely. That's right. That's a good number. Yes, there could be 18 million. I know here where I am located in Toronto, there was a conference around the town north of Toronto called Oshawa, and I was invited to speak in that conference. And afterwards, this woman came up to me who was an abductee herself, and as she was speaking to me, it was a very interesting and strange conversation. I eventually realized in the conversation that she was an abductee, and her handler came, and he was this very tall person, said something to her, and she said, "I'll be there." And so she said to me that she lived in Oshawa, in an area with just homes next to each other. What do you call it? Just like cookie cutter homes next to each other, like a subdivision. And she said that it was filled with abductees, and that they and hybrids. And she would be hybrids. She'd call it. She was calling them. She said that she'd be walking down her street, and she'd see a hybrid, and they'd smile to her, and they knew who she was, and she knew who they were. And this was an interesting thing that happened. Then about 2 years later, I was talking to a gentleman who is doing research in Toronto looking for these guys. And out of the blue, he said to me, without knowing anything about this story, he said to me, "I have found a subdivision in Oshawa where these guys are living."
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Really?" That reminded me of this woman and her story. And so this is just in our neck of the woods right here in this city. They're being prepared. They're being planted into the world for a reason. Another interesting part of Dr. Jacobs' research has to do with the training that the abductees themselves are receiving.
We'll get to that, Ali. We will get to the training aspect and much more. Let me just remind listeners, Ali Siadatan is with us, and his brand new documentary project, which will be released in stages, and we'll tell you how to subscribe to a newsletter. It's called Goliath Rising, Hybrids, Nephilim, and Titans. We'll continue our conversation on the other side. Here are the Beatles taking us into the break with I Want to Tell You. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. Our webmaster tonight, Sean Latasur, has posted some tantalizing tidbits in the highlight section and the in the news section. And we are discussing alien abductions with Ali Siadatan. And speaking of which, it turns out Ireland, the Emerald Isle, is quite a hot spot. It's had its fair share of close encounters, and there's one classic example that Sean has posted in the news, and you can find that under the title Numerous Sightings of Strange Objects in the Skies Above County Derry Have Been Reported Over the Years. So you want to make sure you check that out. Hey, join Coast to Coast AM's George Norrie for dynamic discussions on paranormal phenomena, conspiracies, and all things unexplained on his internet TV program, Beyond Belief. There's an upcoming episode Wednesday, April the 19th, Superhuman Potential with Ben Stewart. And you can start watching episodes right now. Just visit beyondbelief.com for more information. Back with more of my conversation with Ali Siadatan, documentary filmmaker from Think Again Productions. Don't go away, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with Ali Siadatan, documentary filmmaker. His latest project is called Goliath Rising, Hybrids, Nephilim, and Titans. Before we get back to the alien-human hybrid integration program, Ali, tell me a little bit about the project. This is going to be released in stages. How can people keep in touch with you and find out when the next stage will be released?
The best thing to do is to sign up for our newsletter through the website and then go to our YouTube channel, where you can watch the first documentary for free, and sign up for the YouTube channel, because there will be lots of videos coming out soon of various aspects of the research. The documentary also will be a series, and the first segment has to do with the scepter of rule, the scepter of power, which is kind of what I'm going to be sharing tonight a little bit. What is the scepter of rule? What is the scepter of power?
The website for the newsletter, they go to thinkagainproductions.com.
Yes, that's right, thinkagainproductions.com.
All right, so let's get back into the human-alien hybrid integration program. And it's almost gotten to the stage, if these statistics are true, that if you look to your left, look to your right, the odds are somebody in the room is an alien hybrid.
Yeah, that's interesting. I look for them all the time. And since telepathy is part of it, you know, I try to reach out with my mind and see if someone notices. But yeah, I do look for them. They should be around us. They are also sexually active. That's another thing we know from the research. They actually have mates. You know, they have human, you know, mates. We don't know if they can actually reproduce, but we know that they're sexually active. They're living among us. They have jobs. And because they're telepathic, they can learn very quickly. They suck information out of your mind when a question is asked. And the abductee said that's a very exhausting thing. But they suddenly, everything they know comes to the forefront about whatever they ask. So they'll be growing very quickly in their influence in society, because they can pick up a lot of information. However, they are commanded by their commanders that everything is hush-hush, that the signal has not yet been given for them to truly come out of the woodwork. They are right now to just remain, you know, hush-hush.
So they understand that they are not fully human. They know that.
Yes, they do know that, yes.
And do they have a moral compass? Do they have a conscience, or are they ruthless, for example, in the workplace? Someone we might consider to be a sociopath or a psychopath?
Yeah, that's a good question. Through Dr. Jacobs' research, you know, we don't have all the answers to exactly how they are, but they do ask a lot of questions about the moral, the perspectives of humans. And they try to figure it out. For instance, one conversation that was very interesting was this abductee who was being asked about free will. And this was a very important thing, the abductee explained. And the hybrid realized that he was compromising the free will of the abductee by putting him under this neurological control. And that actually posed a moral dilemma for the hybrid, as he was understanding morality and free will in this conversation. So it was really interesting. You know, it's hard to tell what exactly, you know, how dark their heart is. They definitely are creatures of logic. They don't have that sense of creativity and art and spirituality that is the hallmark of humanity. They don't seem to, they're more like Vulcans. You know, it's all about math and rules. They ask a lot of questions about rules. So they're creatures of logic and rule. Are they ruthless? I don't know.
All right. So Dr. Jacobs, and I've met him a few times, and I've talked to him, interviewed him. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember Dr. Jacobs being a spiritual person, or he may be spiritual. He's not a religious person. I don't know if he's an atheist or not, but he's not looking at this integration program, this invasion, if you will, from a biblical perspective. But you are. Explain. When you put all of this data, this information, and this and your experiences and so forth through the lens of biblical prophecy, how does this fit in the big picture, the big cosmic story?
Well, you know, at the very beginning of research, when we started looking into all this stuff in the mid-1990s, it was interesting because the whole idea of UFOs was suddenly opening up ancient mythology about flying gods, and there's also lots of flight mentioned in the Bible. And then this idea of looking deeper into the UFO phenomenon and realizing that, well, the actual human abductions and the creation of these hybrids was actually at the very heart of the modern-day UFO phenomenon. This suddenly made the story of these titans, of these giants, of demigods, real, in the same way that the reality of UFOs, you know, brought perhaps the angels out of the closet of mythology. It suddenly you're looking out the window and you're realizing that you could take this whole story literally. Now, with the hybrids, you were looking into these ancient writings, and then that led me to this passage in the book of Genesis where it said that the Bnei HaElohim, the sons of God, were mixing with the daughters of men. And we thought, well, this must be real as well. Look at these guys. They're talking about hybrids, and this is, in a way, what that is, something foreign mixing with humans, creating a hybrid. And the Bible called them Nephilim. Jerome, who translated the Bible from Hebrew into Latin of everyday Romans, he translated as gigantus, and then that kind of went into the English as giant. And that's you know, actually was a good translation. So this suddenly was interesting because here is the book of Genesis that is referencing a time in history that is older than all the accounts of titans in Greek mythology or demigods in Hindu writings or in Chinese writings. And it's taking us to a period even before this great flood. And it's saying, well, this was the original time in history where this phenomenon occurred. And so that gave us a starting point, and we could now follow the breadcrumbs all the way to the 20th century. And that opened the door. As far as how it fits into the cosmic picture, once it became real to us that, hey, this is happening today, and this has happened before, this was interesting because once we looked into it, we realized that the sons of the Elohim, they were called the Bnei HaElohim. That is the term the Bible gives these guys who came and created these hybrids. And so the creators of the hybrids, the creators of what the Bible calls the Nephilim, are identified for us. They are called the sons of Elohim. So then the question became, well, who's Elohim? Who are the sons of Elohim? Because if we knew something about the creators of the Nephilim, we would maybe begin to understand the purpose. What was the mind behind this act? And so then we had to begin to research this whole aspect of the Bible, which was the Elohim. And so what I discovered was that there was a cosmic tale being told, and indeed it involved UFOs. the term applied to, you know, the God of gods. He's called the El of the Elohim, and he is the creator of time and space and whatever this thing is that we find ourselves in. And there are these other beings, and they are also called Elohim, and they are given sovereignty over specific nations, in fact, over all the nations. This is what the scriptures were talking about, that the nations were divided, and the sons of God, these guys who created the Nephilim, it says in this book called the Book of Deuteronomy, it says that they were given sovereignty over the nations, and God chose Jacob for himself. And so there was kind of a division between, you know, the nations and Jacob and with the spiritual power that was going to govern either of them. So the sons of God had some sort of an imperial, you know, influence over the human world, and we see this in different passages, and they were kind of, you know, fighting. The prince of Persia is this angel who's behind the Persian Empire who fights this messenger that comes from God to deliver a message to Daniel, and he this messenger says, well, after I fight the prince of Persia, you know, I'm going to have to fight the prince of Greece, and Greece was the second empire, the next empire that emerged after Persia. So there was suddenly this hints that these guys are actually behind the nations and behind the power structures. So when you kind of came to the temptations of Jesus where Satan says that I have dominion over all of the nations and I'll give them to you if you worship me, and of course the Roman Empire was kind of like the main empire at the time of Jesus, and of course the Romans very much believed that the imperial scepter was supported by the gods of Rome. This was very seriously adhered to.
Right, but Ali, let me ask you this, because this is important to understand, and it's always befuddled me, which is not easy to, or it's not difficult to befuddle me, but the idea that these angels from the angelic realm, and we're talking about the fallen angels that have been given dominion over the various states on earth at the time, they're not spirit, they're physical beings that actually fly around in craft. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So yes, they are physical beings, and they're also beings of energy. And they're physical beings, and they're beings of energy. Now, the crafts are very interesting. There's one of my favorite passages is in the prophet Isaiah. He says, "For behold, the Lord, that's God, will come with fire and with his chariots." And the word that's been translated chariot actually means vehicle. The only reason it was translated as chariot is because until today there was no other vehicle than a chariot. He says, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his vehicles like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire." This is a very long passage in Isaiah 66 about what Christians call the second coming. And it says that the Lord will return, will come with these vehicles that the Bible calls Merkaba. And we also see the prophet Isaiah being lifted up by one of these Rechab, it's called in that passage, in these vehicles, in these chariots, and he also, you know, prays. He says to his friend, his disciple, who's afraid, he asks God that he should open the eyes of his disciple and show him how many of these vehicles are around them. And these vehicles are also present at the Mount Sinai where the law is given, and that becomes clear, especially when you read the Bible in the Greek translation that existed at the time of Jesus, the Septuagint, which talks about all of these chariots. You know, David talks about it in Psalms as well, that the chariots of God are myriads. There's lots of them, and they are at Sinai. And so these guys, you know, God was there at Sinai, and these guys were with God at Sinai. And so this whole idea of vehicles, and you think, well, how are we to understand that? This has been one of my breakthroughs of late. I now realize that we are not actually in the universe, that universe itself is a human concept. And so we've kind of projected our human thinking over in the universe, and there's like, you know, you travel for millions of miles, and then there's like spaceships that take you in vehicles. It's kind of a half-baked idea. We actually don't know where we are. The Bible says that we are in this thing called the Shemaim, and the New Testament translates it Uranus. How exactly it's structured, we don't understand. We are told that there are clear divisions inside of it. There's an area which we call the sky. There's an area where the sun and the moon is, and then there's an area beyond the sun of the moon and the moon. And then we are told that there is a place called the heaven of the heavens, where God himself resides. How do you exactly get from here to all of these stages of the Shemaim? It seems that vehicles are involved. How do they operate? What are they like? I don't exactly know, but we don't want to put too much human thinking on it. And then the other paradigm that we have to break free from...
But suffice to say, Ali, that the pilots of these ships, at least as you view it from a biblical perspective, is they are not coming from some distant star system, light years away, using the power of the sun. They are from the angelic realm, wherever that is. So they are essentially interdimensional entities. Is that a fair assumption?
Oh yeah. So I was going to say that's the next paradigm that we have to break free from, which is the one that we've inherited from the church, that there are two effectively realms. There is this, physical world, and then there is this spiritual world. And there is these two realms, and somehow in the modern world we'll kind of put the scientific clothing of spiritual dimension on it. That also is another paradigm we have to break free from. That's just like a posted note of how we should view this thing we find ourselves in. The way that the idea that we're in the universe is another posted note. So these are all just ideas, some we've inherited from the past, some we've created in the 20th century. We have to put both ideas aside. So biblically, what empirically we're seeing is that the Messiah is resurrected in a physical body. He says, I'm not a ghost, I have flesh and bone, come and see my wounds, and he eats fish with them to emphasize his physical resurrection. He's actually resurrected in a physical body. He leaves in a cloud, and where he goes, how exactly are there gates that open? How do you transcend from the various stages of this thing we find ourselves in? We don't know. So there's no point in creating kind of going back to, let's say, the default perspective we inherited from church history, which is, oh, wait, there's another realm called the spiritual realm and somehow ghostly, and then you kind of transition into this other dimension. None of this, no one knows any of this. These are just ways we kind of decided to view things, and now we're trying to fit what we're discovering in it.
Right, but if I could summarize as we head into the break, Ali Siadatan is with us. ThinkAgainProductions.com is the website. If you go there, you can subscribe to a newsletter where you'll find out more in terms of the development of his latest project, Goliath Rising, Hybrids, Nephilim, and Titans. So what is going on now with the modern-day alien abduction, human-alien hybrid program? We've seen this movie before. We know how it ends. It mirrors back to biblical times, Old Testament times, again with the co-mingling of the daughters of men with these fallen angels. That's when God, blew the whistle from the lifeguard stand and said, all right, we're chlorinating the gene pool. That was, perhaps the motivation for the great flood, because humankind had been so hybridized with the fallen angels that there was only one pure family, right? There was Noah and his family. Everybody else had to be destroyed. And that was then, this is now, but it's history repeating itself. That's, I think, it in a nutshell. Someone might say to me, in a nutshell, indeed, sir. However, we will come back and continue to discuss with Ali Siadatan. Here's the great Dion, and New York is my home, taking us into the break on Coast to Coast AM.